one little thing for him, just a little open door, and God is going to run. You know, for most of us, if you hear from last week, I used that illustration from Songs of Songs of 5:2, and it was that phrase, open up to me. There was just that one phrase, and when they taught that back in the Old Testament, what they said was this, is that God doesn't require a whole spill of a sentence of repentance. He just wants to see a little sign. A little sign. You know, I want to build on that a little bit more. But some of us know how to pray well, but we don't know how to receive well. That sometimes we get the prayers right. You know, we want to talk about today a little bit about prayer, but just let me just show you this. From extreme disadvantage to breakthrough, we're going to learn about prayer. What was amazing, I have this week I did a bit of a study on prayer books. Do you know how many prayer books we have? You can line a whole street on prayer books. And in these prayer books, they teach you how you start the prayer, physical position of how you pray, the posture of prayer, what you should say, how you can finish, and how you can expect. Bill Johnson made this comment, and that I absolutely love it. And he said, you know when you have a transformed mind, when the impossible looks logical. Let me repeat that after you. Jesus prayed like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. Now, understand something here. Get this right down into your thinking and into your spirit. Everything that God says is extreme on earth, but is absolutely normal in heaven. So extremities always look, so when God says, I love you, and he explains how much he loves you, man, that's extreme. But in heaven, it's normal. See, what happens with us is when we get introduced into a religious system where what we think is norm. For you to spiritually grow, you have to challenge your belief system. When we think about challenge, we think, is it wrong? No, what we're saying is this. What Jesus said is that what is impossible to you is normal to me. So I want to take you from where you think it's impossible to think, hey, that's logical. So with Peter, he goes, Peter, is it impossible for man to walk on water? He goes, yes, it is, Jesus. And he goes, but the thing is, because I'm from heaven, water is actually quite solid. So from heaven's point of view, I can stand on it. So what does Peter do? Peter goes, can I experience it? Now, I want you to notice something. You need to have the spirit of Peter within your spirit. Because what he saw Jesus doing says, call me to do it. He didn't say, call your senior pastor to do it. So one of the things that religion has done is isolated people. And they said, you can do that if you're in this position. So if you're a senior pastor, if you're an apostle, well, you can walk on water. But hey, I'm not a senior pastor, so I can't. See, with Peter, you're okay with me? This is what's called discipleship. Let me give you a definition of discipleship. There's a lot of them, but one of them is, what I see Jesus doing, I need to do. It's easier to say, hey, I can quote scripture. But God says, what do you see me doing? So what happens here is that God starts to move within us and he says, hey, you have got this extreme disadvantage. Every one of us, guaranteed today, are facing a situation where it looks extreme. You can tell when you have an extreme situation because what you do, the first thing an extreme situation or an extreme disadvantage does is says, lower your expectations. If you don't want to get disappointed, don't have any expectations. But you're already disappointed. That's why you have no disappointment. So he comes back into it and you go, I know when I'm facing something extreme because I have this pressure on me. Pressure on my mind is lower expectations. Walk a little slowly. Believe a little less. Just bring it down to this. See, religion says this. God's standards are up here, but you can't keep them. Lower them so you can keep them without God. So what we have is from extreme disadvantage to breakthrough. Jesus is going to teach us on prayer. And he has this amazing mini drama. Jesus said to them a story showing them that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. So Jesus wants us to pray. So what was this? The first thing you buy into here is that we have an invitation to pray. So God is coming up and he gives you this invitation and he goes, wherever situation you are, I give you an invitation to pray. For then, consistently and never quit. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for the people. A widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Protect me. Now watch this. Let me put you in the cultural setting of this. The Jewish culture is not like the Australian culture. It's not like the Western culture. We've got to get out from the Western thinking to Eastern thinking. To be a Jew meant everything revolved around the first five books of the Bible. It was a God-centered city. It was a God-centered country and a God-centered kingdom. So in that, everything revolved around a religious system. And the first thing you find here is that there was a judge. God put judges in to represent him. So when you read in the Word of God that there was a judge, is that God gave them a position to represent him so that the disadvantage can be advantage. So what you have here is a man that is in a position representing God, but he doesn't like God and he doesn't like people. I remember hearing a pastor once said, I love everything about pastoring except people. Not this pastor, okay. So what you have, just want you this person is representing God, but he doesn't acknowledge the values of God, and he doesn't like people. And then there's a widow in that city. First thing to understand, what's a widow? Widow number one, there is no social security. That first thing you learn when you see the word widow is the main provider has gone. So now she's living on handouts. Now, for her to go to this man means that she must have walked through so many doors. Somebody help me, somebody help me, somebody help me. So just watch this. Doesn't tell us how, but she becomes a widow. Now she's in a situation where she cannot get out herself. There's something there. So there's no friends. There are no relatives. There is no family support. There is no community support. So her only avenue that is left to her is this guy. But he doesn't like her. And then also for her, she goes, this guy is representing God. So all of a sudden, think about the tension. Well, if this guy is resisting me, then God must be resisting me. Because he's representing God. So what we have here is this drama where you have an extreme need and you've gone through every avenue. It'll be like this, right? You have a disease. You go to one doctor and he says, I cannot help you. But he recommends another doctor. And you go through and you come to the highest specialist on the globe and he says, I can't help you. I could if I wanted to, but I've changed my mind. So she comes into this extreme situation and her rights are being violated. And she says, protect me. In other words, she's now become so vulnerable. He never gave her the time of day, but after this went on and on. But after this went on and 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 on. He said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think, but because this widow won't quit badgering me. I'd better do something and see what that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Sounds like a marriage soap opera, doesn't it? What does she do? Just put yourself in this picture. Just say, he comes into the office. Guess who's there early in the morning? Hey, you! Tell the secretary, I'm going out the back way. He's going out to lunch. Guess who his waitress is? Her. Hey, you! She is back. This is called stalking. She becomes the first stalker in the Bible. So she says, I am going to stalk. You know what? He's having dinner with his kids. Hey, protect me. Shh. Tell him we're not home. Everywhere she's going, and he's getting to, guess what? This, he is reluctant, but because of the pain of the badgering, he relents. Now watch this. Do you know what Jesus is saying here? That's the picture that God has been painted. So watch this. The way we do life changes. The way we read literature changes. Communication has changed. Transport has changed. Diet has changed. So through the ages, we're living in this change. Do you know the one thing that doesn't change and will not change the following year? Is the spirit of unbelief that paints a picture of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when God puts something like this in, he's talking about us now. He's going, so this is how people think prayer is. So you enter prayer thinking it's going to be a long battle. Okay? So Jesus is saying, this is how people perceive God. So let's go a little bit further. We'll get into the really good stuff. Then the master said, do you hear what the judge said? Corrupt as he is saying, so what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for the chosen ones who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of this, that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? Now, something careful here. The picture was this, is that picture thought that God is reluctant to answer prayers. So to get your prayers, we need to badger God. The mindset is we have a reluctant God and I have to persuade him to do this. So when I have a prayer request, I'm going, okay, great, I'm going to pray, but I have to have plan B. How many plan B's have we got here today? I got two hands up. So what we have is where God has got this mini drama that he's painting for people is you got an unjust judge, and the way that you go from being an unjust judge to meeting a need is you got to badger him to get him off your back. But God says, I am not like the unjust judge. Now, I want you to watch this. Let's put some foundation. The reason God wants you to pray because he is good. One of the biggest foundations that the scripture gives us is God is good. See, prayer is all about God. It's not about the prayer. And so the invitation from God is this, I want you to pray. Now, let's deal with the spirit that is still here and that is still in there. Is that from my earliest recollection of church, pride was considered like really way up there. Because you've got to be careful if you're not prideful. When what religion has done, God is against pride, but he's not against confidence. And what religion has done is taken confidence and superimposed it on pride, and they go, you need to be very, very careful how you approach God. So, confident, so you think about pride is that, you know, you can't go into the presence of God confident. You can't get into the presence of God going, hey, I know I'm going to get my needs met. So what religion has done, he says, this is how God wants you to approach him. See, if you were going to meet the Queen of England, you know the first thing you do? There'd be a guy that comes up to you, sits you down, gives you a book and goes through it. He will say, now, this is how you approach the Queen of England. And they will tell you what you wear, what you do, which nostril you breathe out of. I mean, they will let you know everything because this is how you approach God. So just think about this. You go to church, and the best thing you can do is church is observe. I remember I went into observation mode when I was a teenager. I wanted to observe how people approach God when they have a need. I noticed two things. When there is no needs, people are happy. When they have a need, they're not happy. So it's how you approach God. And this is what I realized, is most people, when they approach God, they have this thing called, I am humble. Oh God, I'm a nobody. I deserve the situation that I am in. And oh God, please, if you would find mercy and pity to help me. So we go like this. My family and I, we have adopted this street person. He's always outside of Coles. I was even there with my granddaughter, and she's into it as well. And so he sits there, and on a good day, somebody gives him a milk carton, and he has a sign that says, I am homeless, and he has his hat. And in the hat, you normally find fives and tens and 20-cent pieces and sometimes $2 pieces. And one of the things he does, which is really interesting, is that when you walk there, he will never eyeball you. He does now because he knows what he's going to get, but before this. So he's there and he's got the sign telling him how disadvantaged he is, but he'll take anything. So I remember the first time we did this, God spoke to me and he says, okay, you need to feed him. And because I didn't have any cash on me. So I said, what would you like? And I looked at him, what would you like? He goes, I don't know. And I go, would you like a pie? And he goes, yeah. And I didn't tell him what kind of pie. So I went in a pie shop, what kind of pies have you got? Got one of each. And then, right, God said, you need to give it. You don't give him change. Give him cash. Some of you will not carry cash now. But what he was, right, he's got this need, but he's at the mercy of people. Think of, just for me, when I started to think about that, so he's there, he's at the mercy of everybody. Now, if he looks confident, no one's going to give anything to him. If he had a nice suit, he wouldn't wear it. If he had the confident look. So he's there, and get this. This is the pressure we put on him. He goes, if you don't look miserable, I won't give to you. If you don't look hungry, we won't feed you. It's like my kids, you know, they wanted to stay from school. Dad, I have a tummy pain. I can't go to school. Now you can still go, oh Dad, it's moving. it's now in my shoulder. I've got a frozen shoulder. You can still go, oh Dad, I can't walk. Dad, who are you? I've got amnesia. Yeah. But it is like, think about this. It is like God's going to meet, and if my need is not great, God's not going to meet it. So same thing with this guy. He's sitting there. God says, you need to treat him. You need to bless him. And you know what happens is that when you give him a 50, he just goes, wow. And guess what he does? Once that happens, he starts a conversation. He starts to open up his life. Because somebody treats him differently than what he thinks he's going to be treated like. So when he sees me coming, he cheers up. He goes, you beauty. Now, so here we have this kind of pressure that God uses this. Now, in the Greek, let me just read you something here. In the Greek, they had a term for it, and the term is Olivia, which means shameless. If you want to spindle in Greek, it's A-N-I-A-D-E-A. Now, this term is used in the Bible when persistence, shameless persistence. God is saying that when you see what this woman has done, she has got shameless persistence. But the root word comes from a Hebrew word called chutzpah, which means this, raw nerve. So just think about it. It means if you could actually mistaken as arrogant. What Jesus is saying, that this woman, and he is inviting us, this is what he likes. God says, I want children with raw nerve. That means I have got extreme expectancy. That it's not dependent upon me. See, one of the things that we got to get our mind around is that I can enter into the presence of God with my problems, with my hang-ups, and still be confident. What we do is this. When I'm clean, when I've done this, when everything is going good, then I can approach God confidently. But with all my problems, with all of my hang-ups, man, I need to go in slowly. I need to go in slowly. I need to go in slowly. And God says, I want chutzpah. What I want from you is I want you to act with raw nerve. I want you to be aggressive. I want you to be headstrong. I want you to be, come on. One of the things I think I did mention when Sylvia and I were in Israel, we went to the Church of the Sepulchre, and I saw men, women, and children on their bellies crawling to a place which they thought was holy, and if they touch it, that could be something would happen. To me, okay, personally, it was the most disgusting scene I have ever witnessed. To me was this, not because of they were crawling, it's because this was their opinion of God. That unless I crawl to him, unless I submit myself under some level that I'm not too sure what it is, then he's not going to touch me. But God says, what I love about this woman is that she had this kind of faith that could be mistaken for arrogance, could be mistaken for pride, but she says, I am shameless about this. I don't care what you think. I don't care what that is, but I am going to touch him. To have that kind of raw nerve, the first thing you need to do is get your eyes off who you think you are. Well, I'm not this, and I'm not this, and I'm not this. It's not about that. God says, it is the faith that I have given you where you step in and you go, wow, God says he wants me to come confidently. God says he wants me to come with a great attitude. God says, I want you to expect that through me, the impossible will become possible. That's the reason we need to dream big. You will never dream big if we have a confidence, well, this is how much I can do. This is how much I can do. God says this, I want you to dream from heaven's point of view and bring it on earth. We need some dramatic big goals. Because, may I say this? What the world doesn't need nice Christians. What's a nice Christian? Oh, yeah, I do my part. I sing a bit. I worship a bit. I give a bit. I don't annoy anybody. My neighbors, I am so quiet, my neighbors don't even know me. I drive the car that no one notices. I wear the clothes that fit in everywhere. I'm just nice. God doesn't. Okay, I'm getting over myself. He said the spirit that comes in dumbs us down, and he says, "Well, this is how the world is. Match the world standard." But God says, "No, no, you're not matching yourself by the world standard. You're matching it by heaven's standard." So then I match myself by him. I go, "Wow, I'm supposed to look at something that's impossible," and I'm going, "God, it's possible with you." I'm supposed to go in God's presence and say, Father, I have a need. Instead of going, I mean, this, you've never done this, but I have, okay? I remember getting into God's presence like this. First thing I do, I'd repent of stuff that I've never done just to be on the safe side. Right? Then I would go, God, you know what? I've been serving you since I was 11 years old. Since 11, God. I went to church. Boring church. I sang hymns I never understood. I listened to messages about hell. I've been there and come back. And I went to prayer meetings. And then I read the Bible. Yes, in King James. Yeah. And then I got up every morning. And then I sang. And then, God, I did this for you. Now. So one of the things that church is good for, no, not this church, is when, can you imagine having a friend walk into an atmosphere where the impossible seems possible? Can you imagine an atmosphere where a person says, I am dirty, I've got all these guilt, but it's okay to come and touch Jesus? Wouldn't it be amazing where there's an atmosphere that says, I can get my needs met, but I don't have to be right to get my needs met? See, one of the things that really ticked me off when we started doing our big crusades was that all of these people that don't love God were getting healed. And I'm going, excuse me, God, we need to make him pay for it. I kind of felt like, what did you get healed of? Well, you know what? My leg grew. Oh, well, that'll be $10. You know, we've got to put that in the offering and we're going to feed the poor. We get this aggressiveness where God says, I need you to go after the big things, but what you need is this aggressive, over-the-top, extreme optimism, and I'm going to go for the best. I am going to go. I just don't want one family member saved. I want the community saved. I don't want just the promotion. I want to own the company. We go, well, hold on, but Ted, but this is my level of education. This is my level. God says, I don't bless you on your level. I bless you according to my level. So therefore, I stop dreaming on Ted Svebianic's intellect. I start dreaming on the wisdom of God. I start expecting, wow, why is God going to heal you? Today we're going to pray and God's going to heal. Why? Because he said so. You see, God is invitation and he's saying, the drama is this. This person thinks that I go to badger God. This person thinks it's going to take a long time. I knew I had this problem. Every time I had a problem, I would go, oh, great. I'm going to have to get up a lot earlier for a couple of months. I'm going to pray and fast. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to be nice to the cat all over again. So you know what? Mentally, subconsciously. Now, this doesn't happen to you. It happens to me. Subconsciously, I entered every problem with a huge timeline. So what happens this, when you have a huge timeline? Okay, let's get it over and done with, God. Oh, great, done. Tick, tick. What are you expecting God to do? Let's take another level on this. What are we expecting God to do right now? Like now. Okay, forget about tomorrow. Forget about lunch. Right where you're sitting now, what does God want to do for you? If you're sick, maybe. Oh, man, you okay? See, this is where, this is how we change atmosphere. We change atmosphere with this. Now, we dealt with the word sacrifice in the worship, but I'll do that again. Here's something that what's messed us up in prayer is that James says, faith without works is. Now, here's the problem with that phrase. is we've separated faith and works. We just said there's faith, gap, works. But it's one word. Faith works. It's not faith, wait. It is by faith I take a step. Faith works. Faith, one word. What we do, faith, wait. I'm getting cramps. Hurry up. See, you know, how many ever thought about this, right? What does it mean to wait on God? I know what it's like to wait on your wife. Come on. You're there, you start the car, the roller door's up. Message. I'm waiting. Another message. I'm waiting. Try what's up. I'm waiting. See, we think that's waiting. No, no. It is, God, I am giving, and it's in the act of giving I am also receiving. We get this serotonin thing where we're going through all the motions. Okay, God, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And God says, look what he's saying here. He says, I am not like this. Then the master said, do you hear what the corrupt judge saying? What makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry for help? See, he's God insulting us. He's going, if this evil judge did something so amazing for this woman because she badgered him, what makes you think that I am like this? What makes you think that if you don't step out, I am not going to meet you? Notice, let's go back to what my comment was about Peter. Peter goes like this, call me, come. What about if you spiritually move my leg? If God really wanted me to walk on the water, I would be elevated. I'd go down and then I'd be put down. What he had to do something. God said, come. Oh, wow. Was that spiritual? Was that a metaphor? Was that a suggestion? Psst, let's have a prayer meeting, guys. Jesus, just wait, wait, wait. Just wait. Jesus, we had this chat, and I said, if it's you, and he says, yeah, it's me. And I said, well, can you call me? I said, come. What do you guys think? Well, you know, first of all, let's look through the Bible. Is there anybody else that walked on water? Peter, no, there isn't. Okay. What if Jesus was just suggesting to make you feel good? What about, hey, I got it. When you get to heaven, you can walk on water. Oh, yeah. So you mean to tell me instead of walking on water, I just drown, I just dive in, and I can walk on water? Yeah, that's a lot quicker than 40, 50 years. You okay now? See, what Peter was telling us and what was happening here, this was a real life story. He just said, this is real life. Like we're standing here today. He stepped out. Jesus didn't say to him, you know what, hey Peter, you still got attitude problems. He goes, yeah, I know. I have these 11 guys that keep reminding me. But what does he do? He steps out. And God says, I am not like this. And then he says this, look at this. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? What's Jesus looking for? Strong, confident believers that will take him at his word and step out on it. You're very quiet. I like that. But for us to change an atmosphere in our lives, for us to get a dramatic breakthrough, there's going to have to be an action. But see, one of the things we've done is what I was mentioning before. We go, well, I've got faith. I'm waiting for God to call me out. God says, it's one thing. God, I step out on your word. Can I give you a huge download and like the musicians to come down? You know the Bible, you know, how many know that story where Jesus said, if two of you agree on any given thing, it shall be done? Okay, now watch this. Let's elevate that to another level. What if you got no one that agrees with you? Then you got the word. So you get there and you go, well, what's my problem? Well, what does the word say? The word and I agree. And therefore, I get this bold persistence where I just go, God loves confidence. I will, because you're my people, right? One of my personal struggles between God and me was this very thing of confidence. I thought that if I act confident to God, that it is in some form disturbing to God or it's off-putting to God. Because of my heart, okay, in my heart, I love my Father. I want to honor Him, right? So in my heart, I always used to think that if I were to come confidently to Him, that, you know, in that kind of just walk up to Him and say, hey, Father, hey, Papa, I need healing. Thanks very much. And then walk out. There was a parable that they used to also use in those times. There was a king that he had two daughters. And one was really headstrong. And one was really polite. And so they said to the king, you know, how is it that when the headstrong one comes into your presence, she gets it automatically? She's straight away. And he goes, man, and the king goes, do you know how persistent she is? I can't fight this. So just to get her off my back, I quickly give it to her. And he goes, but what about the one that comes kindly? He goes, don't you love her? He goes, yeah, I love her, but she just wants to hang around and talk. And then finally she gets to the point of, hey, I have a need. Sometimes is what we do is we go to God. And can I just say this to you as well? He says, worship is not payment. Worship isn't payment. So some of us, I want you to just to help you a little bit. So we don't go into the presence of God with worship because, oh man, this is payment. Hey, God, how about if I give you worship, you give me your health? Okay, God, what about if I fast and I give you my fast and then you can give me the breakthrough? God, this doesn't work like that. What it works like, yes, I fast, yes, I worship, but I don't worship to get His favor. I worship because I am in His favor. So the Father wants this. He says, I want you to come into my presence and go, I need healing. And you walk up with your head held high and take the healing and walk back out. Oh, but shouldn't you go, thank you. You can do it later. You okay? What we want to change the atmosphere in our church and change the atmosphere in our lives is to get to this kind of a point where you go and go, God wants bold, active faith on His word. I'm going to take you at your word. You said you were going to protect me, you will protect me. You said you will provide, you will provide. I am not a beggar, I am a son. I didn't get promoted from a beggar to a son. I was born a son. And God says, now I have given you this bold faith. And He goes, come on, why don't you get into my presence? Stop thinking about you. Stop thinking about who you are, what you're not, what you are. It's about my invitation. And I want you to continually becoming. God wants us to depend on Him. God wants us to have every need met by Him. God says, you don't come to me groveling. I don't bless groveling. I bless faith. The woman with the issue of blood. Think about this. This is the kind of faith. She goes, I am here. Jesus is out there. He's not going to come here. So I'm going to have to go out there. So she goes, if I get caught, I could be stoned. She goes, that doesn't really matter. I've got this bold faith. I've got this thing. So she comes up behind Jesus. Now watch this. She takes healing without asking it. Jesus is facing this way, and she goes, my bold faith is going to come behind him. I'm not going to ask permission. I'm not going to grovel. All I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out and take. And this is what I love. And Jesus didn't say, I want it back. Hey, give it back now. Everybody, you stole that. You took without permission. You went into my fridge, took out a meal without asking. And you know what Jesus is saying? Holy Spirit, I need you to write this down in the Word because this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. Blind Bartimaeus, he's sitting beside the road. He sees Jesus and he starts to cry out. Everybody's telling him, you need to be quiet. This is not how we do church. And he starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David. And God says, I'm looking for this. Jesus is walking through the crowd and the Bible says, as many of them touched him, will heal. He goes, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a people that will get over themselves and they go, I am here to be touched. I am here with your healing. I am here with your provision. Just reach out and take it. Reach out and take it. Reach out and take it. Or otherwise, we go, okay, God, I'm waiting. Right now, what do you need? If you're sick, we're going to pray for you. If you need a job, we're going to pray for you. I feel we're in a season at the moment in a church where God's taken us to what He said. He said, Faith Life Church is going to be an audacious church. You cannot be audacious with an atmosphere that's waiting. And I believe now we're going to take a step. We're going to start believing God for breakthroughs. We're going to start believing God for breakthrough for you. We're going to start believing for promotions for you. We're going to start believing that you will be blessed. Properties that aren't selling are going to sell. All of this stuff, businesses that aren't moving are going to start moving. God says, this is what I'm after. This is what I am looking for. I am looking for a church. I am looking for a people that will have the same kind of faith because I have got my eyes out. Touch me. Take me. Why don't we just stand? Let's stand in Jesus' name. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we have come to get our needs met. Father, we have come to be touched by you. Father, this amazing widow, she looked at the situation and says, it's impossible. But what she did was, she goes, I'm going to make the impossible possible. How? I'm going to bring out this persistent faith that really Jesus is in love with. Jesus loves confidence. Jesus loves persistence. Jesus loves people that will just go in there and take it. So right now, I just release the love and the faith of God in this house right now. I just release faith over your life, over your marriage, over your work situation. I just release it in Jesus' name. I release it in Jesus' name. I release it in Jesus' name. Right now, for every faith that has been subdued, I release it now in Jesus' name. I release the divine favor and the grace of God over us. I release health over us. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. You want us to be confident. You want us to be bold. You want us to go, well, healing belongs to me. Provision belongs to me. Health belongs to me. Peace belongs to me. Provision belongs to me. My family belongs to me. My marriage belongs to me. Father, we're not going to do what Peter didn't do. Peter stepped out and he says, you called me, so I'm going to step out because it's not about me, it's about you. Father, in Jesus' name, if you need physical healing, I want you to come out of your seat and just come down and stand in front. We're going to pray for you. if you need a job, and if you're in that kind of situation where whether you have a job but you're applying for other jobs, I want you to come because we're going to pray for you. If you have any need at all, you know, we want to lay hands on you. We're going to believe for God for instantaneous miracles. We're going to start believing God for instantaneous breakthroughs in your life and in your family. All right, everybody, just stretch your hands out to these people here. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Father, boldly we come. And Father, boldly, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for breakthrough. Father, we pray for breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. Breakthrough. 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 Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Rest of us, I want to do something. I want you to take your hand and place it over your heart. And I want you just to pray for yourself and say, Father, I want a courageous heart in a moment. Father, I'm no longer going to be act like a beggar. I am not longer going to be hesitant. But Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I release bold faith out of my heart. Father, I release the bold faith that will make the impossible seem logical. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, everything within my thinking, everything that has said you can't, Father, I just right now in my heart, I release the faith for miraculous breakthrough. Miraculous breakthrough. Miraculous breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Father, right now, Father, I just bless our congregation. Just lift up your hands. Father, I right now bless this congregation. I bless you with peace. I bless you that your peace will rise up to such a level that you'll be looking down on your problems. Let there be peace in your marriage. Let there be peace in your finances. Let there be peace in your workplace. Let there be peace in your marriage. Let there be peace in your relationship. I just release peace over your life. I release health over your mind, over your soul, over your spirit. I just pray for the healing power of Jesus to be all over you. I release financial breakthroughs over every situation in this house. Father, I release divine opportunities that we have not had. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would visit us and that you would lift us up to absolutely new levels. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, why don't we give the Lord a hand? Thank you, Jesus.